Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, October the 18th, 2012. It's Heroes Day. This is the day that we say thank you to our Southern Arizona first responders, and everyone is invited to stop by the Tucson area Jack Furrier Tire and Auto Care locations and sign a giant thank you card expressing gratitude to all of our first responders. KVOI's Terry Love is at the Jack Furrier store at Ina, west of Old Father. Terry is out there right now during the noon hour. We are live during the noon hour each weekday here on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030. It is KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. You can hear our programs anywhere in the world by visiting at any time buckmastershow.com. The show is also posted to the TucsonSentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com. Plus, there is a link to the Buckmaster Show on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun at gvnews.com. And also, now there is a Blog for Arizona link to our show on their homepage, which is blogforarizona.com. We kick things off with our Meet the Candidate series today, spotlighting State Legislative District 10. We will be talking in a few moments with State Representative Bruce Wheeler. Then 20 minutes past the hour, Comet Discoverer Dr. David Levy. 30 minutes past the hour, our monthly segment on specialty animal care. We'll be talking about, is it time for a total hip replacement for your dog? Then we'll close out the show with Dr. Mark Sykes, head of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. You can join in the conversation at any time on the Buckmaster Show live line. It's 790-2040, or submit a question using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. So now we move on to the race for Arizona House of Representatives in District 10. 10 runs from Campbell Avenue in Tucson between Speedway and 22nd Street and opens up to the east, capturing the Sabino Canyon and Tanque Verde areas. This is a four-way race among two Republicans and two Democrats for two seats in the Arizona House of Representatives. The candidates are Democrats Bruce Wheeler and Stephanie Mock, Republicans Ted Vogt — we spoke with Mr. Vogt earlier this week — and Todd Clodfelter. We will talk with Mr. Clodfelter and Ms. Mock next week. But right now, it's Representative Bruce Wheeler joining us. Bruce, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well, and thank you very much for asking. The campaign, as far as you're concerned, what is your primary issue that you are hoping that voters will resonate with voters?
Well, it has certainly been resonating for the last 2 years, and voters are very interested in what we're doing about our public education system and about attracting jobs to Southern Arizona. In my opinion, and in the opinion of many, many other people, our schools are not getting and receiving the support they need so that we can give our kids the best education they can, and therefore the opportunity to open doors and fulfill their dreams, having good-paying jobs. I've been very fortunate because of my work. I've been endorsed by both the Arizona Education Association and the Tucson Chamber of Commerce. I think that not only shows that those two organizations recognize the work I've done on education issues and economic development, but also shows that I can speak with disparate groups and organizations and different interest groups to at least sit down and listen to their concerns and in some cases actually move them forward and get something done.
And we want to congratulate you on your endorsement from the Arizona Daily Star. The Star endorsed Ted Vogt, the Republican, and yourself, the Democrat, in this race. And the Star wrote that Bruce Wheeler shared with us, as a person who has been in the legislative trenches, his assessment of where Arizona stands. And then they quote you as saying, the state, with all its promise, is going on the wrong direction. We're closing schools, building private prisons. This state is losing the opportunity to educate children. I mean, why are we losing that opportunity to educate children?
Well, first, I'm very grateful to the STAR and the editors for making that choice. I'm very fortunate to have quite a bit of a wide spectrum of support in the community. However, Bill, you've covered enough of these races, and I can tell you we are taking nothing for granted, and we're working very hard up until the last moment on November 6th. The reason is that the state has failed to adequately support K through 12 public education and the universities. And that's unlike a couple decades ago when the partisan rift was not so volatile and we had a Republican chair of the House Appropriations Committee, Tom Goodwin, who really made sure that education was supported, who really ensured that the University of Arizona's research and development programs were protected, enhanced, and that we kept the best professors that we could possibly get and attract them. And we're seeing an exodus of professors in their fields of expertise, which is extremely unfortunate. And that endangers research and development funds, which amount to over $500 million. So it's a very serious issue. Part of the why is the Joint Legislative Budget Committee, which is our impartial budget-crunching organization that both Democrats and Republicans look to for numbers as far as impacts of taxation policies. They estimated earlier this year that because of over 200 loopholes, instead of the 20 that we had 20 years ago, we now have over 200, that cost the state coffers around $9 billion, which is exactly pretty close to the amount of the annual budget of the state of Arizona. So by having a tax code that is not reflective of reality, we're losing these opportunities to fund education, health care, and attract businesses into Arizona.
We're speaking with Bruce Wheeler, LD-10 candidate for the Arizona House of Representatives. The STAR also liked your being a strong proponent of local control. And for folks who don't remember, Bruce Wheeler, you were on the Tucson City Council. Give me the years. What were your years?
Well, you're going to age me, Bill, but I'll take the bait. It was from 1987 to 1995. So
okay,
it was over 18 years ago.
There you go. And then you were also one of the youngest members ever of the Arizona legislature.
In 1974, I was 26 years old, and I was the second youngest ever elected. That's correct. And I think what the STAR was referring to as far as my city council experience is that a lot of the actions the legislature takes adversely affects the ability of the city of Tucson and Pima County, for instance, to address potholes and the condition of our roads because they raid continuously the highway user revenue funds that normally would go to repairing roads, and instead they've taken that money and used it for their own purposes inside the state general fund. And so my knowledge and understanding of that, I suppose, and I appreciate, was one of the reasons for their endorsement. You know, if I have one quick minute, one example that they referred to, at least in the discussion, was when we were on the city council many years ago, we were active in getting tax incentives passed so that we could attract the optics industry into town. And today, Tucson is known as the optics capital of the world. We brought in the large industry of optics, and then that had the profound impact of creating a lot of small businesses. And for instance, the finest mirrors for telescopes from Hubble to the telescopes on Kitt Peak, Mount Graham, Chile, Hawaii, are polished right underneath below the U of A football stadium. And that's the sort of private-public partnership that I think we ought to be engaging in again, and the legislature is failing to do.
You know, and I think we'll ask Senator Deacon, former Senator DeConcini is going to be our guest, Bruce Wheeler, tomorrow on the show. And, of course, he's a member of the Board of Regents, and he's talked with us about this before, that the universities are losing more and more public funding, and it's becoming almost like a private university.
It's really a shame because it was on the way of being a top-notch university in many fields, and in the research and development, there's tremendous promise for the development of biosciences right now, the way optics and other things were in the past. And we ought not to lose this golden opportunity to support biosciences at the university so that we can attract those businesses. As we already have, there's, you know, Roche, the pharmaceutical giant from Switzerland, has moved here. But we can do a lot more, and other states are trying to compete with us for those very jobs.
You know, the early voting has changed everything. When you think back to your earlier campaigns, there was no such thing as early voting. It's really changed the ballgame, hasn't it?
Totally. We started early voting a week ago today, in fact, October 11th. And the election is still some 20 days away. So, yes, we've had to revamp and recalibrate the calendar to accommodate that. But, you know, it's a positive thing because it allows more people to participate. They can vote at home, mail in their ballots. It's secure, and it encourages more people to cast ballots. And I think overall it's a really, really good idea. And lastly, you probably have the figures. In the last election, approximately 80% of the voters voted early before Election Day.
Yeah, that's true. And it looks like it will be certainly that percentage or more this time around. Where can people get more about your campaign, Bruce?
They can go online, www.brucewheeler2012.com. And Wheeler is spelled W-H-E-E-L-E-R, so brucewheeler2012.com.
And for folks that don't know, Bruce Wheeler is a fantastic photographer. Have you ever seen a sunset like we've had the last couple nights?
I can't wait till the election's over so I can pick my cameras up again, Bill.
There you go. Bruce Wheeler, thank you very much for being with us.
Always thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Have a good week.
You too.
Bye.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the Modern Streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Coming up now on 1221 on the Buckmaster Show, this portion of Buckmaster is brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City. Known for its vibrant arts community, downtown Silver City hosts a variety of galleries, gift shops, historic buildings, fine dining, and quaint homes. Plenty of great accommodations in the Silver City area, including Lake Roberts Motel, Ridge Park RV Park, and Buckhorn RV Park. For more information about Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, the Buckmaster Show recommends a visit to southwestnewmexico.org. Time for our monthly visit. We're always honored to have Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, with us. He is the former science editor of Parade Magazine. He now heads up and is the founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He has discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9. That's the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994 that produced that spectacular explosion, probably the most spectacular explosion ever witnessed in our solar system. David Levy, how are you?
Hi, Bill. It's good to be on the show again today.
Thanks a lot. If I'm looking for a meteor shower, have I come to the right place?
You've come to the right place. This is an astropolitics store. And, you know, with the election coming up, people are forgetting what's up in the sky and what really is important. Recently, Bill, we've had in our particular faith the what's called in the Jewish faith the High Holy Days. And so to help celebrate them, I was reading commentary that had to do with the 19th Psalm that begins, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And all in his handiwork, "Day unto day yieldeth knowledge, night unto night yieldeth wisdom, so long as the sky is clear." And so I was reading some of the commentary about this, and they quoted from Immanuel Kant in his Critique of Pure Reason that he published back in 1781. And Kant said, "There are two things that fill my soul with holy reverence and ever-growing wonder. The spectacle of the starry sky that virtually annihilates us as physical beings, and the moral law that raises us to infinite dignity as intelligent agents." In one sentence, he has connected humanity with the night sky. The only other person that I know who's done that is William Shakespeare, who in Hamlet wrote, talked about, "This goodly frame the earth, this most excellent canopy the air, look you, this brave or hanging firmament, this majestical roof fretted with golden fire. What a piece of work is a man," in the next sentence. "How noble in reason, how infinite in faculties, in form and moving, how express and admirable, in action, how like an angel, in apprehension, how like a god, the beauty of the world, the paragon of animals." It's interesting how the two can be connected, and I like to believe that when we look at the night sky, we are connecting humanity, the best that there is in humanity, with the best that there is in the night sky. Finally, Shakespeare, I think, summed in all two of the most exciting things in all of astronomy in the opening lines of Henry VI. He said, "Hung be the heavens with black, yield day to night," as he writes about eclipses. And then in the very next line he says, "Comets, importing change of times and states, brandish your crystal tresses in the sky." And now I still have 1 minute in our presidential debate here to answer your question. We do have meteor showers coming up, and earlier in October we had the October Draconids, and I was fortunate enough a week after the shower's maximum to catch a night with three meteors that I could see through the telescope that came from Comet Jacobini-Zinner.
Wow.
At the end of this month, it's already switched on, we are going to have the Orionid meteors, which are from Halley's Comet, and they will be the thing to see at the end of the month, followed immediately by the Taurid meteors, which come from Encke's Comet. So we have a lot of meteors to come up, and I hope all your listeners will go outside and watch them.
How is the comet hunting going, David Levy?
Well, it's going pretty well, Bill Buckmaster. I'm still doing it. I'm really not expecting to find any more comets, but I'm still enjoying the search. And to me, it is the search that is the most important thing. And as long as I keep on enjoying that, I will continue to do it.
Well, you shouldn't cut yourself short there. You'll probably hit that. I mean, you're one short of the even two dozen. You got to hit two dozen there.
You think, eh?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
What about the total solar eclipse in Australia? You have seen, plenty of solar eclipses, probably more than anybody
80,
else.
I think.
Yeah, a lot. And are you going to Australia?
Yeah, I'm going to Australia on the 9th of November, so that on the 12th or 13th of November, I will be seeing, hopefully, if it's clear, a total eclipse of the sun passing just over northern Australia. And so we hope to catch that coming up in November.
So you'll be out of the country down under for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think from the 9th of November to the 22nd, just before Thanksgiving.
You have said that some of your most important observing sessions do not involve comet discoveries. How so, David?
Well, I'm in the process of writing my autobiography right now, and someone suggested that I devote a chapter to a typical special observing session. And I think one of my most special ones took place just a few weeks ago at the end of the summer when I was outside under the sky and saw a number of meteors, and I just felt so incredibly good about being out there. And then as I was closing up, I witnessed a rocket launch from White Sands, New Mexico, which was an incredible thing to see this Juno rocket stage soar into the heavens. Just one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
We're having, of course, as the time changes now, we're getting more and more of the night sky. That's always good news to you and your observing.
Yes.
Can you give us a few quick tips on where we should be looking now as we transition from now fall into soon the winter season?
Yeah, I think so. As the weather's getting more moderate, temperature's getting nice, just to go outside, see the great square of Pegasus as it transitions to the constellation of Andromeda and Perseus. And with a telescope, you can see the Andromeda galaxy. For most of us, our neighbor galaxy in Andromeda is the farthest thing that we can see without a telescope, with the unaided eye. And if you have a telescope, go out and take a look at the Andromeda galaxy. That's just absolutely incredible.
Okay. David, coming up in a few minutes here on the Buckmaster Show, a good friend of yours, Dr. Mark Sykes, will be with us.
Well, please give him my very best. I know Mark very well.
And, of course, you are a board member on the Planetary Science
Institute. I was tossed off.
Oh.
I was tossed off.
Mark's saying that's not true. That's not true.
So you'll have to scream and yell at Mark a little bit.
Okay. David
Lee.
David Levy, thank you very much. Good luck, and we'll talk to you after your visit to Australia. How's that sound?
Probably that'll be good.
Okay, thanks, David.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Boy Scouts have released almost 15,000 pages from the organization's files on men suspected of being pedophiles. And the documents show that on numerous occasions, local officials helped to cover up allegations of abuse. A Texas judge has ruled in favor of high school cheerleaders who were kept from quoting biblical verses on banners during football games. The judge says the policy appears to violate their free speech rights. The presidential candidates are putting aside the finger-pointing just long enough for a charity dinner tonight in New York. It's the Al Smith Dinner, a required stop for politicians since the 1940s. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 16 points, the NASDAQ off 30. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Well, 34 and welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. And once a month, we focus on animal care issues here on the Buckmaster Show. The segment is about specialty animal care presented by Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, an award-winning facility open 24/7 and recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet. Located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road and on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. Specialty vets for special pets. Joining us now on this month's animal care segment is Dr. Jim Boulay. board-certified veterinary surgeon and one of the founding owners of the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. Dr. Boulay, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill, for having me. It's nice to be here, and it's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, I appreciate it, and this is always one of my favorite segments because I love animals, dogs, cats, you name it. I love them all. And what exactly is a veterinary orthopedic surgeon?
Well, when you complete your veterinary education, which is usually about 8 years of schooling, you get your doctorate degree in veterinary medicine, and you become a veterinarian. For some people who want to specialize, we go on and we do a year of rotating internship, and then we do 3 years of specialty training in which we only do surgery. Now, we're trained in all types of surgery, soft tissue, orthopedic, neurologic, and dental and oral surgery as well. And so there's an additional 4 years of training, and then you sit for a very rigorous examination process, and you become a board-certified veterinary surgeon. And then some of us, either by choice or just because orthopedics is a big part of what we do, we specialize further in doing primarily orthopedics, which is, you know, working on bones and joints and things, because a large part of the problems that you know, we see in dogs and cats are related to injuries and trauma and things like that that involve the bones and joints.
I always find it fascinating, Dr. Boulay, when I talk with people in the medical profession about how they wound up in their particular specialty, and I wonder what was the attraction for you into orthopedic medicine?
Well, you know, I started out wanting to be a pathologist and study disease and go into internal medicine, and as I got further in my career, I realized that, one, I liked fixing things and working with my hands and working with, you know, screws and drills and things like that. And as I went through my training and my internship, you know, you meet various people that are very influential in the way you think, just like I think people in business do. You know, you meet a mentor that is very instrumental in directing you into a certain field. And so I met, you know, various people along the way that directed me into orthopedics. And I think one of the, you know, there was a very world-famous veterinary surgeon, Dr. Barclay Slocum. He lived in Eugene, Oregon, and he developed one of the most common knee surgeries that we use today, which is called TPLO. And Dr. Gores, who is my partner in the business, happens to also be my wife, she and I became, through a series of circumstances back in the early 90s, very close friends with Dr. Slocum. And he developed the TPLO procedure, which we use for reconstruction of the knee for rupture of the anterior cruciate ligament, which is a very, very common injury in the dog. In fact, it's the most common orthopedic injury that we see in the dog, and it just like it is in people. It's very common in people.
So it sounds like there are common orthopedic problems that both the humans and the dogs and cats share.
Yes, it's remarkable how many things that dogs get, that people get, and there are many of the procedures that we use on people that were developed with dogs as the model, and so we get to sort of take advantage of that by using some of all that stuff in our daily practice.
When would someone who goes to their regular family veterinarian for perhaps there's a bone or a ligament injury or a fracture repair, when is it time then to see an orthopedic specialist?
Well, I think just as you go to your primary care doctor for, you know, you have pain in your knee or you injure yourself, and they say, look, you need to see somebody that really specializes in this and does this. You know, I do knee surgery three times a day, and so that's all we do. And so I think we have one, you know, more advanced equipment, perhaps, than a local veterinarian. We also may have more advanced techniques and offer a greater variety of choices in terms of what's available to a particular dog. and to a particular client. And so I think it's just you're looking for that specialized care of, and there are veterinarians that do orthopedic surgery, but in order to see a surgeon, you need to see somebody that's had that additional training. And so I think it just depends on what you feel is best for your dog.
Let's talk. I was going to say, let's talk about some of the common things that all of us humans have heard about. That's the ACL injuries. And also I want to talk a little bit about total hip replacements. It's not just for humans.
No, we do. In fact, I just saw a dog today, Mary Jane, that I did a hip replacement on. 4 months ago, she was in for her four-month X-ray recheck, and so when dogs get, you know, hip dysplasia and they get arthritic disease in their hip and they have trouble getting up and down or moving or playing ball or going on walks or hiking, we can go in and do a total hip joint replacement just like they would in a person, and that will restore them to very, very good function on that hip, and they can go back to playing ball and running and jumping. We do field trial dogs and agility dogs, and so it's a way to return them to normal function without the use of lots of medication and things like that. The same thing with the anterior cruciate ligament. It's a very common injury in people. Most, you know, everybody knows somebody that's had knee surgery for their either for their meniscus or for their ligament. And so we have a number of different procedures we do that will reconstruct that knee to the extent that a dog or a cat could go back to normal function and live a normal life with minimal problems long term.
Dr. Jim Boulay is with us. He's board-certified veterinary surgeon, one of the founding owners of Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. My own love of my life, my princess, my Norwegian forest cat, her name being, of course, Princess.
Yeah.
As she ages, Princess is having, you know, the usual issues with jumping up on the bed.
Right.
Jumping up, just jumping in general, sometimes even jumping up into my lap.
Right.
Is it just something that we have to live with as pet owners, this problem with the mobility?
No, I think it's just as we have in people. As we get more advanced techniques and we get more better imaging quality functions, we learn more and more about cats. You know, people used to think that, you know, cats kind of just got along and they were very adaptable, but they get arthritis in their hips, they get arthritis and degenerative disc disease in their spine, they can get ligament ruptures in their knees, and so oftentimes there's an underlying orthopedic problem that may be limiting their ability to jump. You know, obviously as we get older, you know, being in my 50s, I can't do what I did when I was in my 20s. But yeah. I wish I could, but I can't.
Yeah.
And so I do have some limitations in what I can do. But there are lots of things we can do in cats. There's medications we can give. There's surgical procedures we can do. There's imaging modalities that we can find out why it is that she's not jumping. And maybe there's an orthopedic or an arthritic problem that we could treat medically or if so, they do hip replacement in cats now as well. So there's lots of things that are becoming available to help these cats and dogs to live a more healthy and robust life into their 15, 16, 17. You know, it's not unusual to see a 20-year-old cat anymore.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Dr. Boulay, quickly here, stem cell therapy, hearing a lot about it for joint issues. What about, how does that translate to the veterinary side of things?
Well, there's a very big push these days for stem cells. People hear a lot about that. There are two kinds of stem cells. There are embryonic stem cells, which is the main controversial area, but there are also what are called adult stem cells. All of us have cells in our body that are able to differentiate into many different types of cells. And so what we do is we harvest fat from a dog and we send it to a company in San Diego and they harvest the stem cells for us. And then in 1 to 2 days, they send those cells back and we can use those cells to inject into a joint, to inject into a ligament or a tendon that has a problem, and they will provide cells which will be instrumental in the repair or in the relief of inflammation. And so there's a lot of research now undergoing both in the veterinary field and in the human field on stem cells and how stem cells can help us. We're lucky in veterinary medicine. We don't have as many regulations as they do in the human field, so we have stem cells available to us now, and we use them on a regular basis.
Folks can call you for an orthopedic condition, I assume, over at veterinary specialty.
Anytime. I'll be very happy to see anybody.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Boulay. Great
You're
talking
welcome,
with you.
Very welcome, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Our veterinary specialty clinic, our veterinary specialty segment brought to you by Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, specialty vets for special pets, located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back on another busy Buckmaster show presented by Splendido, Oro Valley's all-inclusive community for adults 55 and better. Now is your chance to really check out Splendido up close and personal. Tuesday, October 30th, 9 a.m., RSVP for the annual Showcase of Homes event. Say you heard about it on the Buckmaster Show by calling 762-4090, 762-4090, or visit SplendidoTucson.com. Dr. Mark Sykes joins us now. He is the Buckmaster contributor on space exploration. Dr. Sykes is CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which is celebrating its 40th year as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. He chairs NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group and serves on the Planetary Science Subcommittee on the NASA Advisory Council. Lots to talk about today, Mark. How are you? You're just back from Reno and a big event that was happening up there, the Division of Planetary Sciences of the American Astronomical Society holding a big meeting up in Reno.
Yeah, it's been a busy time. Great to be here, Bill.
But before we talk about the Reno event, you've got some breaking news.
The sky is falling, folks. Yes, it is falling indeed. One of our senior scientists, Mark Fries, who's based in San Diego, has developed a technique of finding meteorite falls using weather radar, Doppler weather radar from the Weather Service.
How in the world does he do that?
Well, with a lot of math and then some computer power. But he uses the radar signals and he's able to track things coming into the Earth's atmosphere, breaking up. You know, things are falling on us all the time. And back in April, he identified the Sutter Mills Fall, which was in California. It had big sonic booms and everything, and directed some scientists to a particular location. They went to the parking lot and they picked up meteorites off the ground.
Are you kidding? It was that accurate?
It was that accurate. And in fact, because they did it within a day and it rained the next day, they found a material in this dark carbonaceous meteorite that would have dissolved in the rain and had never been seen before in these kinds of things. So that's the value of having this kind of technique. Well, that was in April. And then in September, he identified another fall in Nevada where people are now recovering things. And then later in September, a fall in Quebec. And in the last 24 hours, last night there was a bright bolide flying across south and north across San Francisco with some sonic booms and electrophonic sounds. You know, refrigerators were making noise
and from the
radio signals going out and power lines and so he tracked its path over that and is identifying an area in the Marin Headlands as a possible fall location. And then today, he's tracked another fall right outside of Agate, Colorado, where I'm sure he'll be, you know, directing people to go and see if they could recover material. You know,
it's fascinating research, and this is a scientist who is part of your team.
Yep.
At the Planetary Science Institute.
We're very happy to have him on board.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's really cutting-edge stuff. And one of the co-founders of the Planetary Science Institute was with you up in Reno, Dr. William Hartman, Bill Hartman, our friend, senior scientist at PSI. And he's come out with some interesting – there was a news conference up there in Reno about the science of global climate modeling – confirmed by discoveries on Mars. How's that work?
Well, this shows the value of what we do in planetary science. We're taking models that we have developed here on the Earth, like global climate models that are developed to reproduce things that we observe on the Earth. And then we take them out to some place weird like Mars and say, okay, now it's a different atmosphere, it's a different gravity, but it's the same physics. And so we tweak the parameters and we run it. And what they did was they ran this for some conditions 10, 15 million years ago and predicted there should have been a whole bunch of glacial activity centered in the vicinity of a particular crater. And by gosh, if they don't go there and they find evidence for exactly what they're predicting based on that model. And other people have used the same Earth-based model tweak the parameters or change the parameters to work on places like Titan and Venus and places like that. And we find that its predictive ability is very good. And this is what Bill was talking about, and this was a real fine example on Mars. And so the implication is that when we take when we take it and we find that it works under extreme conditions and on other worlds, that gives us some confidence that the results we're getting about what are natural conditions or what does the effect of adding carbon dioxide to the model have, gives us some confidence in the reliability of the output that model provides for where we live.
So it really gives us a model that can be taken anywhere in the anywhere in the universe, probably, right? I mean, it's
right. But so what it's telling us about natural versus human, or how much is natural, how much is human component to the effects of climate change on our own planet. This is a way of testing the reliability of those results.
So if the climate models can explain features observed on other planets, then the models must have at least some validity, correct?
It gives us some confidence in their predictive ability here on Earth.
And maybe we can take it to this new Earth-like planet that is in the news today, an Earth-sized planet. Very close in our solar system.
Where is it? It's kind of in the hood of our stellar system. This is the nearest collection of stars is the Alpha Centauri system, about 4.5 light years from Earth. It's the closest star system to us, and people have been writing about worlds and things around those stars in science fiction for a very long time. They found a planet, and it's around Alpha Centauri B, but it's orbiting about 10 times closer to that star than Mercury is, and it's Earth sized. They detected it because that the gravity from that planet pushed and pulled on the star's position a little bit, and that's what was measured. But it's also a little toasty because it's so much more close.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty hot there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 1,200 degrees centigrade. I don't think even sunscreen would help you there.
So it's an Earth-like planet, but atmospherically, it's not very much like Earth.
No. But the stars there are about the same mass as our sun, and the habitable zones where if there are other planets there, and there likely are, like around Alpha Centauri B would be the equivalent of at the distance of between Venus and Earth's orbit. So if we find some planets in that region around that star, then if they're the right size, then they may have water and stuff on them and possibly offer the science fiction vision of worlds that are habitable around those nearby stars.
So this new planet is the closest Earth-like one yet to be found in our solar system?
In our stellar neighborhood. It's beyond the solar system. So it's the closest planet outside of our solar system that has been discovered so far.
Dr. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure talking about otherworldly things. Good to see you, Mark. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
You.
Dr. Mark Sykes from the Planetary Science Institute. What's your website again for folks that would like to learn more about PSI?
It's www.psi.edu.
I'm a big supporter of PSI. I'm a member, and I urge all of the Buckmaster Show listeners to check it out as well. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan. We really like Culligan water, and it's a simple reason why we like it. Folks, it simply tastes better, and that's as good a reason as any to enjoy a nice bottle of Culligan. John C. Scott is coming up from 4 to 5 on KVOI this afternoon. Then tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. And former Senator Dennis DeConcini will be our Friday Focus interview here on the Buckmaster Show tomorrow. Lots to talk with him about. He's not only an Arizona border regent, but of course we'll be talking about the U.S. Senate race, the hotly contested Senate race here in Arizona. Plus, we'll have our Reporters Roundtable, and Matt Russell will have Weekend Watch. That's tomorrow on Buckmaster. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.